This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and FMR in Cape Town.
Well, good evening. It's Warwick Lucas. I'm standing in for Michael this evening, and we have two guests in the studio with us today. That's Stephen Manchis, who's Head of Research at Momentum Securities, and Raymond Parsons, Head of the School of Business and Governance at Northwest University. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
So, Steve, it's been quite a rough week on the Rand. It's definitely a downhill most of the way, and then today a bit of relief. Your thoughts on that?
Well, there was a story in Bloomberg's recently about 11 solid days of equity sales by offshore investors, so no doubt that had something to do with it and wasn't fully compensated for by gilts buying.
Okay, and we have had a smorgasbord of quite tough results out there, and I think one of the sectors that really stands out as taking some stick there is the construction sector, and of course Group 5, the latest casualty in a long line of casualties in a very tough sector. Your thoughts on perhaps a two-minute wind-up on what actually happened at Group 5 there?
Well, all we know is that suddenly Eric Wiemer was no longer CEO almost exactly, well, at the end of February 2 years ago, 2017. And from then, it seems to have been all the way down. His exit was followed inexorably by quite a number of senior and experienced managers. And the surmise from outside is that that led to some of the problems they had in their contracts around the continent.
Okay, that sounds like, in many ways, though, the generic story that you would expect from any company that's really in trouble, i.e. that key staff start behaving like rats leaving the ship and so on. I mean, we are seeing a general contraction in building. Now, we know, of course, how cyclical building is at the best of times, but it's almost as if, with the kind of casualties we've seen, as if we're not going to have a high-level civil engineering industry in the next 2 years.
Yes, that's right. I do think the Group 5 situation was a little idiosyncratic, and it remains to be divulged as to what exactly happened. But yes, obviously it was also affected by the general construction situation, and we've had the likes of Murray and Roberts exiting construction and sort of cherry-picking the bits and pieces they want to stay in. And, of course, we had the massive reparations, if you like, following the collusion in the 2010 World Cup, you know, which have gone far beyond the payments and led to, you know, massive undertakings to start up new startups on the BE side and so on. But the problem with that is that it coincided with the dearth of government contracts.
Absolutely. And, of course, given the number of contenders left in the industry, I dare say those promises of pavement are rapidly turning into a bunch of blank checks. Bouncing checks, I should say. So perhaps the one good bit of news that I noticed there was on the building material side anyway was one of the few positive points on the mining output production figures there. So perhaps we can hope for better things in that sector to come going forward. Certainly, whoever's left alive will be champions. But we can talk a little bit further on those figures in the second half of the show. Turning to other companies with a rough week, Aspen. Your thoughts there? Do we have a real value underlying there, or is it a white-knuckle ride for some time to come?
Well, obviously, one hopes that the Lactalis sale will go through, will be approved. They certainly need that to get that debt down to better levels. And then, of course, they actually need to improve the operational. They need to sweat the assets. I mean, as we all know, they've used debt on acquisitions. They've moved into therapeuticals, which is not was not their original forte. And it remains to be seen whether they can really generate good returns on those assets, and that's what I think the market will be looking for, as well as debt over the at the end of the next 6 month period.
And finally, some good news motoring in through from Metair. That was a perky set of numbers there. A little bit of help from the Rand, but what else happened there, Steve?
Well, for a change, things just went well. I mean, they seem to they're very pleased with the Romanian asset. They're 30% in that company, and it's leading edge technology and Turkey and so on. But I mean, simply, you know, on a PE just short of just below 7x, I think it's yeah, it's a stock to watch.
Okay, and perhaps we see some change in evidence in the banking sector. Standard Bank, for example, laying off something like 1,200 staff there potentially, and closing branches and technology. How are you seeing that evolving, and what are the markers that we saw that in the big results releases this week? We had Absa out, we had First National out. Your thoughts there?
Well, what is very interesting is that Standard Bank certainly led the way in terms of contribution from the rest of Africa to its earnings, being 31%. And the growth there was very, very healthy. Absa to a lesser extent, but still pretty good and boding well for the future. And then, again, somewhat less relevant was, but Nedbank's got Ecobank, and it does have good exposure to Africa. First Rand, of course, has adopted a different strategy. They've got a couple of interests in Britain, and of course they're super efficient on the local front. And in terms of competition from digital disruptors, they're generally acknowledged as being, have been regarded as being up front there amongst and best placed amongst the big three, with perhaps APSA a little bit more vulnerable to that kind of competition. But getting back to Standard Bank, I think they're harvesting the massive expenditure they've underwent in recent years on IT, which caused them to run legacy systems side by side with the new systems, and now eventually they're able to rely almost entirely on the new systems, and they're able to harvest by means of laying off. And earlier on, prior to the announcement, about 1,200 job losses due to branch closures. They announced, I think it was 527 people on the IT side going. But again, I think the branch closures have also been facilitated by technology, by a greater proportion of their clients transacting digitally.
And Absa, are we seeing a business that finally is properly emerging from the dead hand of its former shareholder, or are we in a bit of a nowhere space where, having lost their leadership positions in the likes of home loans and credit cards, that they're stuck in the curse of number two, you know, where it's going to take a super effort to look at number one, and they've lost that momentum that does come with leadership?
Right, I think those are apprehensions that are warranted. They are back in home loans. The other banks commented that Absa's back, so they're going back for market share, and I think they definitely have indicated they're going to do that, and there's no reason why they shouldn't improve. But yes, I think the market would like to see some clarity around the new leadership.
Okay. Let's cross to Putseletsu, who's standing by with our latest traffic report.